Now, while we separate these, and it's useful to look at them separately, it's important to look at them separately. To be honest, sometimes they intertwine and blur and mesh a little. That's not true. They don't really blur, but they intermesh. For example, population and setting. Sometimes where you're studying changes who you're studying. A study of hospitalized patients with schizophrenia versus outpatients with schizophrenia. Definitely a different setting. Probably different schizophrenics. Right? We'd like to think that at least the ones that are at greatest risk to themselves and us are the ones that are inpatients. Right? So just go, don't let reality intercede. This is a perfectly good academic lecture going here. We're just shifting where we're studying. But along the way, we're probably changing who we're studying, at least some. Setting in the task stimulus. Where you are may influence what they are doing or the stimulus used. This was a master's thesis that one of the kids did when I was in graduate school. He must have gotten his ass kicked in a bar fight because he spent a couple of years studying how arguments escalate to physical violence. Now, his strategy was that he had people reading these scripted arguments. And the script included when to stand up and pound the table and things like that. And he had galvanic skin response and he had all sorts of stuff going. And a few of us who had been in bars just always wondered if there might be a difference between not just the setting, but the task stimulus. Is there a difference between how you get riled up reading a script and somebody else who's also wearing a polo shirt than how you get cranked up with 9 beers in you and your friend standing around saying, "Get him!" Okay? Just have to worry sometimes. Where you are may impact aspects of the task and the stimulus. Population and task stimulus. Sometimes you have to adjust tasks and stimuli for who you are studying. And this actually gets awful close to measurement validity problems. A study of elementary versus high school math learning. Different population, probably different math too. It'd be very difficult to think of a math test that would reasonably be given to elementary and high school students at the same time. Make sense? So, while these things blur, that means it's more important to pick the pieces out. Don't just pay attention to, well, clearly they did it in different places. What's the impact of being in different places on who we have, how they're treated, and the rest of it? Another aspect of this that I want you to worry about is a couple of other kinds of validity that have gotten very important and a lot of attention, finally getting a lot of attention. One of them is cultural validity. Different behaviors or relationships between behaviors across cultures. The way I like to handle this within the system is to not expand the system, but to handle it within the system. Most definitions of culture define it by a combination of members and location. In other words, Latinos in New York City aren't the same culture as Latinos in Mexico City. Okay? Where you are and who you are have a combination on this thing we call culture. And this has become very important when people say, well, I'm studying, and they name a group, and what they mean is the 6 of them here at UNL. Okay? That might not be a full cultural representation. Okay, so we got to treat culture as a combination of population and setting elements of external validity. Ecological validity. Anytime anybody uses this word, you got to stop them and ask what they mean. Because it means a whole bunch of different things. Because I like history, I want you to know where it came from. Where ecological validity originally came from was in the 60s. In experimental social psychology, they were running a lot of laboratory studies with hardcore manipulations, causal interpretability, very simple stimulus designs, all sorts of cool stuff. And it was boring as shit. So what they wanted to do was to engage the participants so they put some energy and some thought and some of their personality into it, because that is, after all, what social psychology is trying to study. The social psychological study of bored sophomores. No one ever describes their study that way, though some of them should. And so what they did is they shifted from laboratory settings to real-world mock-ups. they shifted from sitting around a table like this in a room like this to a mocked-up jury decision room. They shifted from reading a transcript to watching a videotape. They shifted from writing out opinions to promulgating arguments among the participants. And that was what was originally meant by ecological validity, getting the study closer to the real-life ecology for the principal purpose of engagement. Along the way, they discovered out that they were increasing their representation, the representativeness. But the original intent was to get folks engaged. One last thing that I want to tie all this to is I want to make the distinction between generalizability and applicability and warn you about one of them. Generalizability means broadly applicable. Broadly applicable. Applicability means application to a specific combination of the elements of external validity. So generalizability is much more demanding, especially in terms of the convergent research required to support claims. If I can replicate a study a couple times that's really been run the same way, then I start arguing easily about applicability. The closer your application is to my population, my setting, my task stimulus, the more applicable my results are going to be. Generalizability goes way beyond replicability and into convergent research. That I've run this on adults and children and old people, and I've run it with real stimuli and constructed stimuli, and I've run it here, there, and everywhere. And it's held up over a 20-year period, which is sort of tough to get done for your thesis. But that's the difference between applicability and generalizability. Generalizability is beyond most of you right now just because you don't have enough content knowledge in your area. Again, that's not an insult. It's a constant reminder, but it's not an insult. So what we'll tend to see on the exam and the story problems is applicability. Here's the way the study was run. Here's a particular thing that I want to apply it to. What's your job? Identify the population in each, the setting in each, the task stimulus in each, and any differences in temporal social. You with me? Okay. The rest of it, you'll transition into without even noticing over time. The more you know, the less stupid you'll be. As we'll talk about more next time, or maybe the time after, it's very difficult to have internal validity and external validity at the same time. Because control and representativeness do this. And so sometimes you look at a study and you say, this doesn't have good external validity. And so you turn to the author and you say, what the heck? This doesn't have external validity. What are some of the answers you might get? De-emphasizing external validity to emphasize internal validity. If the main focus of the study is causal interpretability, you might make a large number of choices, each of which hinders generalizability. Okay, so somebody basically looks at you and says, I understand that. I did what I had to causally interpret the results. I ran rats instead of children. I ran a passive task because they're very easy to score accurately. I used a lot of shock on the little buggers because it won't really hurt them and it speeds the task and increases the replicability. I know that I'm not telling you about how to treat children in school, but I am learning the relationship between passive tasks and different ways of pushing and modifying them. I'm doing what I want to do, which is internal validity. And that's why we often have applied researchers that go along with every kind of basic research. We even have journals that often have the word applied in them. Now remember, applied doesn't mean specious. Applied means theoretically driven things outside of and beyond finding basic causal relationships. The Applied Journal of Cognitive, or Journal of I can't remember. It's got applied and cognitive in it. So it's either the Journal of Applied Cognitive Psychology. It's one of the hardest journals to get into. Why? Because it has very high theoretical standards. I don't want you to just apply something. I want you to apply something and learn about it in a real setting. Okay? Tough journal to get into. Great journal to get into. Another approach is to sort of eschew external validity and instead emphasize focused applicability. Basically the argument is I ran this study to learn what I needed to learn about. I ran the population that I care about, the setting that I care about, the test stimulus that I care about. And if you care about other combinations, you can run your own damn research. Okay? So, two different common responses to your research isn't externally valid enough. Part of what I'm trying to do is prepare you for when people walk up and tell you these things. Because if two things aren't causally related in the cleanest of settings, they can't possibly be applied in the real world. And so one approach is to say, what might work there because it works? The other approach is to say, hey, this works, why? Okay? And you see both going on all the time. People are still trying to figure out how the hell aspirin works. The hardcore biochemistry of aspirin is not particularly well known. Not aspirin. Aspirin.
No, I was thinking
of aspirin. Oh. Well, it's really high and it's got nice trees. Those are the causal agents. Okay, aspirin. Okay. So you're right. You see it both ways. But, again, it's that contrast. That causal interpretability comes at a cost of external validity. Sometimes just focused external validity comes at a cost of generalizability. I run into that all the time when I show, when I go to conferences and I show people, this is what I've learned about student learning, this is what I've learned about how to use web-based learning. They say, but you're teaching statistics classes. I better have a replication with a content course in my back pocket ready to show them. Because they will dismiss me because I found it teaching statistics. Okay, so there's an example. And when I pull it into the lab and run the hardcore, strongly manipulated causal experiments, then even if the task stimulus is stats, they will fret. Okay? Fret, fuss, it's hard to know where the line is.